Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus spoke those words to a people who found rest hard to find. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In those short little verses that Jesus invites us to it's really remarkable. It really is, when you consider it, the world we live in with all the chaos that surrounds us, the world around us with all the ongoing stuff that clutters our minds, that Jesus says, come to me and you will experience something that I think we all yearn for, but often feel it's too elusive for us, and it's called rest. Think about it. What is it that we feel most when we talk about how do you feel? How many say, oh, I feel rested. I feel rest. I feel at peace. Now, sometimes we feel, you tell me, do you sometimes feel that life happens too fast, that you're always in a hurry? Or maybe you feel overwhelmed with the demands and the pressures that you face, both outside of your home as well as within your home? Do you feel exhausted? I hear people say that all the time. Sure. But do you feel rest? Do you feel you've lost your sense of excitement about living each new day that God has given you? Do you feel discouraged? Do you feel a sense of worry or fear that just constantly bombards you? Sure. But do you feel rest? There is something going on here in Jesus' words. Because so many of us feel the sense of carrying a heavy load, we feel like we can't maybe take it any longer. Or if we are taking it, we just feel like we're just going to somehow endure it and get through to the end. But there's no real hope in it. It's just kind of a drudgery that we have accepted as kind of our lot. And yet Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. Help me finish this, and I will give you rest. What an amazing invitation. If it was anything else, come to me and I will give you success. Maybe we would run at the chance. Come to me and I'll give you money. Maybe we would run at that chance. Come to me and I will give you security. We would run at that chance. Maybe come to me and I'll give you free food. You know, that's how it works. You say free food and people show up. But rest. Because God invites us to experience something of His peace in the midst of the mess and the chaos that the world has around us. God offers us something through these words of Jesus that is intended to be that which gives us the ability to arise even in the midst of all the downpour of things around us. This rest in the midst of our burdened and tired and exhausted daily lives. The realities that stress is a part of all of our lives. It's just part of the deal. I'm going to suggest to you, it's not a question about, you know, why do we deal with such stress in our lives? The question is not why do we experience stress? The question is, what do we do when stress happens in our lives? Because stress is a part of life. In fact, I think stress is part of how God made us. He made us with a little trigger inside of us that when things get difficult, our body's natural and instinctive survival response to cope with physical or a threat or danger, there's a stress, there's an emergency thing that kicks in that we begin to step up, that we get, you know, come a little bit more aware, a little bit more alive, maybe a little bit more energized for that moment, for that time, because it's part of how God wired us to be able to do it. But the problem is that when it doesn't get turned off, when that stress just continues to go on, instead of being energized and aware and awake, we become worn down. We become beaten up by it. There was a study done, and we could have done the study right here, I'm sure. But Dr. Steve Bressert on psychcentral.com, what a great place to go looking, did this study on the impact of stress. And this is not going to surprise probably any of you. He mentioned there was a bunch of different physical signs of stress, and they include such things as sleep disturbance, digestive upsets, general restlessness, high blood pressure, and lack of energy. You could go on. You want to throw any others in there? Oh, come on. You guys can help me out with this study. I know. What's that? You want to strangle your spouse? Is that what you said? You know, that would be, yeah, we're going to get to that. We might get to behavioral signs, and that would be a good one. Okay. Yeah, cognitive issues. And he mentions a number of them, mental slowness. And at the same time, sometimes it is a racing mind that won't slow down. Negative thoughts and attitudes that seem to pervade, that just seem to not go away due to the stress we have. Forgetfulness, not that you forget the stress, you forget everything else. Constant worry. There's a bunch of others. He goes through a bunch of others. He even talked about other ways, emotional signs of stress, where we lose our sense of humor. We find irritation and frustration are easily right below the surface. Easy to feel overworked, easy to feel overwhelmed, easy to feel completely helpless and beaten by the circumstance around us. Not because of the circumstance, but because of the stress we feel. There's a lot of things that stress does, and we don't have to go to a study on psychcentral.com to find this. We know what happens when stress affects our body. We know what happens when stress affects our minds. And I think that's why it's so remarkable that Jesus invites us to rest. Sometimes we just need a break. Sometimes we need to take a cue from our pets. In fact, I would suggest you go find this, put it on your computer, and when you're feeling stressed, just look at it. Oh, I could look at that all day long, and I would probably feel better. But it's not just taking a break. It's not just moving to a place where we can get a vacation. If that was it, he would say, go take a vacation. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. We need to learn how to experience this rest. We need all the things we can do. It's not just taking a nap. It's not just taking a break. It's not just chilling on the floor like the cat. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Before I go on, the context here in Matthew 11 is this. Two things have happened earlier in the chapter. And for us, we often, this is what we do, folks, 21st century Christians, we go to the verse that we can memorize. And we love this verse. But when we take it out of its context, it often loses some of its oomph. John the Baptist earlier in chapter 11, the news of his death has just arrived to Jesus and his followers. Now, with that news, there's probably sadness that one of their friends is now gone, is now dead. There's probably also a lot of things like fear. Are we the next ones on the chopping block? What's going to happen to us? If this happened to him, what's going to happen to us? And so we have to understand that when Jesus speaks these words, he's speaking it as one who is in the midst of these same emotions, as well as his followers are finding that same thing. The second thing is a conversation, which leads into these words, which says, you know, why is it that our work seems to have so little impact? That we work hard, we share, we go out into all these villages, and yet people aren't really coming. They're seeing these miracles, and they're not really trusting. All these things are going on, but things aren't really getting better. And so in the midst of this frustration that things aren't going the way you think they should, they're not, the efforts you're pouring out aren't coming back in the rewards that you expected, Jesus says these words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Just taking the context of that chapter says, what's wearing them down? What is the burden? Well, it's probably grief and sadness. It's probably fears and insecurity. It's probably frustration because what I expected to happen isn't happening. What I thought would be the way isn't the way. And somehow when things don't go my way, I throw my hands up, I get angry at God. Whatever I do, I say, I've had it, not going to try anymore. And yet it is into that context that Jesus says, now come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Again, notice that. He's saying, it's not take a break. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His ways. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What are his ways? What are the things that he would want us to begin to learn? I'm going to suggest to you, and this is a little bit of a stretch biblically, but I believe it's part of God's pattern for us that Jesus wants us to come to know. And that's that pattern of finding a rhythm in life where rest is a part of it, where a break from those things, not that you get away from the griefs or the frustrations or the fears, but that somehow they begin to find their context in this relationship of rest and trust that Jesus invites him to. We see that this is exactly what God has done all along. We see that this is what is actually written into, embedded in the creation story. You know, on the seventh day, it says in Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had been doing, and on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Have you ever thought about that? Why did God rest? Was he tired? Was he out of breath? Were his fingers, you know, sore? Did he have a backache? Needed to chill for a while? No. God didn't need a break because he was tired, but he rested from his work, and he blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from the work of creating all he had done. What is being established here in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is a pattern for our life, and God is setting that example. This is what's part of this creation poem of Genesis 1 and 2 is the idea that there is something right about work, but there's also something right and good and godly about this rest. It's a pattern that honors God. It's a pattern that remembers who we are. It's a pattern that cares and allows us to take better care of this human being that God has made us to be. It's funny in the Bible as we see this, this is the pattern set up. Part of God's created order is intended to have this day of rest, this pattern of rest. And yet two chapters later, when we see the confrontation between Cain and Abel, it's funny that God chooses this word. He says to Cain after he's killed his brother Abel, he says, Cain, you will be a restless wanderer. And as you're reading through those first few chapters, it's almost as if God is saying, this is your choice, folks. Rest, or you will be restless. Cain's sin on top of Adam's sin leads to restlessness. God's design and what Jesus then invites us back to experience leads us to rest. And that's almost a choice that God says, here it is for you. Here it is for you. It's funny to me that in the Ten Commandments, it's like Moses, God gives to Moses these Ten Commandments, and the fourth one talks about keeping the Sabbath day holy, kind of putting this idea in a legal form. But there's no consequence, there's no punishment for breaking that rule. Have you ever noticed that? The Ten Commandments, there are no punishments for breaking those rules. It's almost as if God is saying, it's punishment enough. Keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy, and you'll be following this pattern, this rhythm of life that leads to rest. You don't do that. Don't honor that day. Don't remember your Creator. Don't remember that you're His creation. Don't take time for yourself and time for that reflection, and you will be restless. We live in a world filled with restless. And God says all along from Genesis 2 through Exodus 20 through Matthew 11 that the invitation is for us to come and experience His rest. That's why I jokingly said, I hope you come back next week and the week after and the week after, because that pattern of Sabbath is an important thing, not because that there is something necessarily just about being at church, but there is something very significant about being Sabbathing. Doing so in the context of others, finding fellowship that helps restore, finding God's Word constantly, not just once a week, but throughout the week, but certainly once a week, where we begin to interact once again in this place that begins to lead us to peace. How do we do that? We begin to order our life in such a way that we keep some of this Sabbath rhythm pattern, so that we begin to keep aware of God's doing, so that when stresses come and difficulties arise, that we're able to deal with them and not be overwhelmed by them. How do we take that? You know, we're told in the New Testament to pray continuously. Yeah, I don't think God thinks that we should always walk around with our eyes closed and our head bowed as we're praying. We'd be running into things all over the place. It would not be a good thing. But he wants us to constantly be aware of his presence. And so some of the things we can do is kind of like make little markers in our day that remind us to be in prayer, to take that and to say, I'm going to be aware of God's presence. I'm going to mark my day, break up my day. I'm going to take times to pray, not to become legalistic about how many times in the day that I pray, but to remember to be mindful of prayer throughout the day. Sometimes we need reminders. Maybe you need a little sticky note on your desk or on your refrigerator, or on your mirror, or on your dashboard to remind you of something of God's word or invitation to pray. Maybe it's having something in your purse or in your wallet or in your Bible or whatever you take with you to be reminder to constantly be in reminder of God's goodness and his prayer to you. I know I used this a few years ago. I pulled out a penny and I said, you know, this is something good to put in your pocket and just to leave it there. And every time you notice there's a coin in your pocket, be reminded it's there for a reason. Because on that penny it says, in God we trust. And so it becomes a reminder that even though we run through periods of stress, there is still an answer for us to be finding this holy rhythm in the midst of our day. Teachers, before the day starts, before you open your doors, start that day with a prayer over your classroom. Make that classroom, for that moment, a sanctuary. If you work in a retail place or in an office of some place, put something on your desk to remind you that you are Christ's light to shine to those who come into your presence throughout the day. Just whatever it is, little reminders, clues that begin to break up the monotony of the weariness that we get trapped by to remind us of God's presence. That's what Sabbath was intended to be, and we can do it day to day, moment to moment throughout our days to keep that awareness there for us as well. Come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. You know, that's part of why we even celebrate communion, and we'll get a chance to celebrate communion this morning. But again, it is that constant reminder. The Passover was intended to be a reminder of God's goodness, that no matter what may be going on now, we are reminded of God's faithfulness to rescue in the past, giving us hope for his rescue in our current situation. Jesus took that Passover meal and kind of refashioned it around his sacrifice, his reminder of what he has done for us in the past, that as we come to receive this meal, we are reminded not only of God's faithfulness and love for us, but of his constancy and his invitation to be with us always in the present as well.